the question, we may have been disappointed in other people and stumbled because their light did not shine properly, or we tragically may have been a disappointment to others who have stumbled and got hurt along the way and perhaps even lost their faith because our light was not reliable. Today, let us examine our lights and see if they do meet God's own criteria. What will our conscience say? Are the lost safely pointed unto the narrow way because our light reflects God in what we do and say? Or have the people stumbled because our light was dim? Has our gleam been the pointer to failure and to sin? Let our lights be a signpost to heaven, not to hell. God knows just how we function. Will He say all is well if He looks at our lights today as we are? Now we know for a light to shine, it has to be connected to the power source. If there's something wrong with the wiring, it will not matter how many times I press that switch, the light will not come on. So electricity has to move through the light bulb for the light bulb to shine. And that's what we want to do this afternoon. We want to examine ourselves and see if we are really shining. We say we're shining, but are we really shining? It is as if God, all the wires are disconnected and crossed over and they're leading to the wrong end. God takes those wires and he reconnects them. They're connected to sin and wrong and evil thoughts and everything, and God has to rewire us to be able to be connected to righteousness and doing that which is right and reading His word and praying to Him and doing all those things that are right. Now in our house we always have problems with electricity. Just before I left, we again had problems with electricity, and if you put this thing on then that one doesn't work, and this switch, yeah, I have to put a little notice saying please do not press this because it's, you know, the wires are not correct. Now we made all sorts of plans with our house. We rewired this section and we rewired that section, and then it works for a while. But what did we really need to do in the first place? We needed to rewire the whole house. Only then would it function properly. And it's the same with us. God has to reconnect us to Him as the power source, and only then will we be victorious in our Christian light. Remember the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a religious leader. He had rewired a whole lot of sections of his life to the religious side. But he had not started right at the beginning. And that's what God wants us to do. He was a bulb that didn't shine. There wasn't God's life in him, God's light in him. God said to him, Nicodemus, you have to be rewired totally. You need to be born again. You have to connect to God so that He can shine through you and help you to live properly. Nicodemus came by night uneasy in his soul, though a revered church leader, exemplary in role, a light without the spark, although his witness was sincere. He sensed something was missing. This filled his heart with fear. You must be born again, made of anew, cried Christ. Reform will useless be unless God starts within your heart to place His light in thee. So that's what we're questioning ourselves first of all. Are we vitally connected with the Lord Jesus Christ? We might profess to be, but are we really, if God looks at us? All faulty connections have to be removed. The wrong perspective, the wrong motives, the wrong desires, the wrong direction. If you are following the wrong things, if you are watching the wrong films, if you are enamored with the wrong music, the wrong film stars, then I think you need to look at your connections and see if there doesn't have to be a total rewiring. You're beginning at the wrong end if you say, all right, now I'm not going to do this and I'm not going to do this and not going to. No, you need God to come inside of you and set you alight. Nothing can replace Christ. All we try to do is like filthy rags in comparison to His righteousness, which sets us alight. So we need to re-examine ourselves and be very certain in this afternoon, the last day of the camp, to say to ourselves, am I truly set alight? Has the Lord Jesus forgiven all my sins? Cleanse me. Does he live in my heart? And is he shining through me? Claiming to be a Christian, posing as born again, I know there is a problem. Sin reigns. Thus false my claim. Though God had shown his mercy, died on the cross for me, I wouldn't grasp his pardon. Salvation bypassed me. And you know, even at this camp, salvation has been offered to you through the Lord Jesus Christ, but it passes you by because you have to grasp it. You have to reach out for that rescue rope to lift you out of the darkness. Now, faulty connections show. We claim to belong to God, but it shows if we don't. I don't know if, as anybody said to you, well, your behavior doesn't fit your claim to be a Christian. You see, if a light shines, is set a light inside of you, it shines through, and it has to show in how you speak, how you react, how you treat others, and the things you do and don't do. It shows. Now, Gary Albers of the Children's Hour was preaching at a certain church, and somebody said to him, listen here, you must actually speak to the minister's son, because he claims to be a Christian, but he really doesn't follow God. He was a minister's son, but he's not following God. So Gary Albers, after the meeting, went to this young man, and he said to him, are you a Christian? He said, yes, with a big smile. So he said, oh, well, that's wonderful. But he says, do you know what a true believer is, a true Christian? He said, the Lord Jesus says in John 15, verse 7, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Can that be said of you? And what happened to the young man? He hung his head and he said, well, I have to admit, I am not a Christian. I don't fit that scripture. So first of all today, let's examine ourselves and see if we really are truly set alight by God, if our sins are cleansed and forgiven. How sad if someone says to you, I'll tell you where to go. Follow my light. Keep very close the way I surely know. But they ascend a precipice with yawning depths below. They blind themselves, thus nearer comes for them the final blow. For when you reach the edge called death, you'll plunge with those before into the flames of hell itself. No return anymore. We're talking about serious things. We've played the fool sometimes with even the idea of what has been presented to us. But we must realize we are dealing with heaven or hell. It's a warning from God himself. Well, you may quickly say, all right, the day of salvation, I can point back to the day. I can truly say I was saved and God called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. I don't fit this picture. But if you're honest, you have to admit that the title, Faulty Lights, suits your testimony. There is something wrong with your testimony. You are not following God. You used to follow him. You used to be enthusiastic and eager about him, but your light has become dim. People were lost in darkness, the light they could not see, and then someone had pointed them to look out for me. You see, I was expected to be a shining light, to point people towards God, to blind people their sight. But my light, dim and failing. It hardly showed a spark. Therefore men failed to see it, continued in the dark. How sad if lights mislead men, making them lose their way, because we did not keep ours trimmed, shining bright each day. Now, inconsistent lights are terrible. They go on and then they go off. And then they go on. Their beam is erratic. They work when it's convenient to work. And then they don't work when it's a rainy day or a windy day. They fair-weathered Christians. Now, a Sunday school teacher in the Tract magazine said she one day stood before the Sunday school class and she asked the whole class, will you tell a lie for, if you tell a lie, and I give you a penny, will you do that? So they said, no, never, 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 ever would we tell a lie for a penny. So she said, all right, so if I gave you 10 cents, would you tell a lie? So they said, no, 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 not for 10 cents. But then she said, now, if I give you a dollar, would you tell a lie? Suddenly there was silence. Until one young boy got up and he says, "No, I will not tell a lie, even if you offer me, as poor as I am, a dollar. Because when I've spent the dollar, the lie will remain." Now, we cannot afford that our lights go on and off according to the situations that we find ourselves in. The world expects a standard. They are not fooled if we trim our lamps when convenient, but dim them constantly. How sad if Christians change when promotion comes their way and drop their standards swiftly, the price too high to pay. A light that is erratic brings disgrace to Christ's name. Let us be faithful to Him. Remain a constant flame. Now, I even knew people when I was part of a tennis club, and the people that were in charge were definitely not Christian, but they spoke so scathingly about the so-called Christians. They said, well, they had all these standards while they were still in the lower team. But the moment they were chosen to represent their country or represent their province, then suddenly all these standards fell away. Because they realized if they kept their light shining brightly, they'd lose this wonderful offer to them. And it's sad if we change our standards and change our light, just tone it down. You know, with the oil lamps, you turn the light down. So sometimes we as Christians turn the light down when it's not going to be convenient to be too prominent as a shining light for Him. God wants us to shine at all times. How sad if we should compromise both principles and stand because we find it difficult to walk as God had planned. The price to shine just seems too high for us to pay at all. Therefore, our light is flickering, which causes men to fall. Those following have left the path. Our light led them astray. Fearful it will be to give account for this on Judgment Day. Imagine when we stand before God, and God, we saved. We know we're going to heaven. But somebody else stands and says, listen here, that person, she failed in front of me. She did all those wrong things, and I just followed in her wake. And I'm going to be in hell one day because she was not faithful. We have to be serious when we realize that we must shine brightly for the Lord Jesus Christ. I know of an unsaved father whose son got saved, and at first that son was on fire for the Lord, and he was holding meetings and he was visiting people and he was trying to get other people saved. And when the father, he mocked the son and he said to him, how can you be so out and out? Why be so extreme? Just pretend you're a Christian. Just be a quiet Christian. But you know, secretly that unsaved father was hoping his son would remain as absolutely out and out. Because what happened is that suddenly, eventually, the world started tugging him as it tugged Demas, and he fell by the wayside. And then later the father said to his friends, how I longed for my son to have remained as ardent as he was in the beginning. And so the world might mock you, they might tease you. I know when I was at boarding school, they were all saying, well, why didn't you do this with us? And why didn't you do that with us? And then afterwards, when I said no, they said to me, I'm so glad you didn't. So even though while they're begging us to do wrong things with us, they're actually longing that we will be a true light that shines and doesn't grow dim. This unsaved father mocked his son. Why trim your light so bright? Why seek God with such earnest zeal? You'll suffer many a slight. But secretly that father hoped his son would prove the worth of serving God with his whole heart, a light upon the earth. How earnestly he watched his son, hoping he would stay bright. How bitterly he mourned the fact of his son's fading light. You know, if that son had remained faithful, I believe that father would be saved today. But the father is bitter and against God. And one of the stumbling blocks was his son's failing and fading testimony. Now, we said in the beginning the batteries have to be in place. And of course, the battery, the negative of repenting of our sin, the positive of accepting Christ. But, you know, sometimes you have a torch and the casing gets a little bit loose. And suddenly it's this flickering torch on and off like I had the other day. And we have to see that the negative and the positive stays in place. We have to flee wrong. We have to go as far as we can away from wrong. We must avoid wrong. We must be scared of wrong. And we must cling to everything that pleases God and that is right. We must be careful that we don't lose our grip as the batteries stay in place, the negative and the positive. Now, Dixon tells us about a young boy that was working for a cloth merchant. And this young boy had to measure the cloth and cut it. A material shop. Do you call it a material shop? Where you actually sell material to people. And one day the manufacturer came to this young man and he said to him, "Listen here, I'm not making enough money. So when you measure a yard, I just want to make, just without looking, just shift the cloth a little bit and just cut each yard a few inches short." So this gentleman said, the young boy said, no, I cannot do that. He said, it would be wrong, it would be sin, it would be lying. And so the employee said, well, then I don't want to keep you in my place anymore, you're fired. Now guess who that young man was? He was 14 years old when he took that stand. He was Adam Clark, that eventually later on did the Adam Clark commentary. Now I wonder if he would have become what he became if he didn't, as a young boy of 14 already, take such a stand. He did not dim his light when it didn't suit him. Now, I have another young person, also about 18 years old. He was also working in a where they fix cars, and they tried to get him to pretend that the engines were replaced when they were just renovated. And he also said, no, I cannot do that. I cannot live a lie. I cannot speak a lie. And he also lost his job. But God honors you. And even if you're only honored when you get to heaven, when he says, well done, when you get to heaven, it's worth it. How sad if I should claim to be a light that shines for thee, but when it isn't suitable, no beam for men to see. Only when 'tis convenient, not when the weather's rough, I just switch off the light and say, the going is too tough. How sad if others go astray, because my flickering light has not shone out as beacon in their darkness and plight. We must remember, people are dependent on their lights. And if we switch our lights on and off, they're going to be one after another that's going to stumble because of it. Unreliable lights are dangerous. We don't realize how dangerous it is. An infidel, agnostic, an atheist said to David, oh, don't even talk to me about Christianity. Think of David. He was a liar. He was an adulterer. He was a murderer. And then the minister quietly said, you've just endorsed the scripture. Because what did Nathan say to David after he sinned so badly? He said, by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. 2 Samuel 12, verse 14. And so when we fail, we give the people that are unsaved the opportunity to say Christianity doesn't work out. We've got to be sure that we shine brightly so that they see it does work out. Christ is able to help us to conquer over sin. Now, if the light fails, it is a tragedy. Moody tells us a very terrible story. He said a father of a sailor had to man the lighthouse. And his son had gone on a whaling expedition, and he knew his son would be coming back. And he'd waited day after day in that lighthouse, looking out for the ship to come. And there was a terrible storm. There was a fierce gale. And the father, as he was watching, he got tired and he fell asleep. And Moody tells us that as he fell asleep over the light, the light went out. You see, if he had been awake, he would have trimmed the light and seen that it was bright. And the storm raged and the wind went and everything. And he suddenly woke up after a few hours. And when he woke up, he looked and he saw, oh, the light is not on. So he quickly put the light on and he looked out and he was devastated. There was a ship that was wrecked on the dangerous rocks. And as he looked at the pieces and the masses, he ran out to the shore. And you know, the first body, Moody tells us, that came floating towards us was the body of his son. And you know, if we do not shine in our home, If we do not shine at our workplace, if we do not shine to our brothers and sisters, to anybody that comes around us, do you know that people can end up in hell? Like that young boy was a dead body floating around because the Father's light was not shining. And so in the same way, we do not realize the seriousness of keeping our lights burning and shining. So many people are in the spiritual sea of life, and they're going to land up on the rocks if we are not faithful. How dangerous, O child of God, if your light does not shine. For hellbound, drowning sinners need to see God's lifeline. You do not guess their frantic fear, their dark despondency. As they peer through the storms of light, your beacon light to see. Now, media also tells us of an old man who was counseled. Now I'm talking about dim lights. And this old man eventually came under deep conviction, and he came out and he spoke to Moody, and he said, "I'm a backslider. My light has become so dim that he's hardly seen it all. And I want to confess this to God. I'm going to return to God. I'm posing as a Christian, but I have failed God. So I repent of my sins and I come back to him," like Peter did when he failed so badly. And so the father, "But for years," he said, "my light has been dim." Now, when that father was set alight for God, he went and he went to his children that lived in the city, and he went and told them, he says, "Listen here, I want to tell you, you must get right with God. I have failed." And they laughed. They would not listen to him. You know why? Because for years, his dim light had made Christianity a mockery. If our lights are dim, the world will mock and others will fail. O Lord, must I confess my light no longer shining bright? Will others lose their way because so much I do not right? How dangerous, O child of God, if your light dim should be. Wake up. Repent and trim your light so that the lost can see. Now, what about unpredictable lights? As I said, erratic, on and off, or shining for a long period and then they just down again, then on. And so one girl said in the home with her father who professed to be a Christian, she said, "They never knew what to expect. The one day it was just all happiness and joy and life is wonderful and God is wonderful. The next day it was such a gloom that they got extra hidings every day." So that's not what our light must be. It must not be erratic. I know there's chemical imbalances that need medication. I'm not talking about that. But if we have got no physical reason, there is no reason, even though the storms of life are difficult to handle. You see, if the Lord Jesus lives in your heart, your joy is not if my mom is nice to me, if my dad is nice to me, if I have friends or if I don't. Your joy is actually in the Lord Jesus Christ because he's living inside of you. So your joy should not get less because he is our joy. And that's what we have to realize. Philippians 1:21, "For me to live is Christ." And the Lord Jesus said at the end of his days, "I have finished the work," John 17 verse 4, "that thou gavest me to do. I have kept my light shining bright." There wasn't a moment, the Lord Jesus said, that my light was dim. We've got to constantly be aware that other eyes are upon us. Many are in the deepest, darkest. And remember when I was at boarding school and somebody really irritated me and I got very cross. And the person just burst into tears. So she said, "Well, I didn't expect you to get so cross because you are a Christian and I just don't expect that of you." And then, you know, I was so humbled because I realized how they watch your every step. And if you fall, they fall. Now, what about dying lights? You know, some people, we have a testimony, we say we're a Christian. There was an old man who, whenever people said, "How did you get saved?" he said, "Go and fetch that paper. I think I've told you before about it. Go fetch that paper out of the drawer, my boy," to the grandson. And the grandson would bring and he'd read his testimony. But the one day they went to look for the paper, and what had happened? The mice had eaten it up. And so they said, "What is your testimony?" He said, "The mice have eaten it up." Now, in the same way, is our testimony still alive? Is our light still shining brightly? We say we're a Christian because we became a Christian 5 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, a few months ago, a year ago. But is our light still shining brightly? Because if not, others will stumble. It's sad if our light does not shine. What about in the home? Is your light still shining there? Now, oil lamps have got a glass around them. Hey, some of the oil lamps. Do you have the same oil lamps? You have a thing and you have a glass around it. Now, if dirt gets on the glass around, then of course the light doesn't shine brightly. As I said the other night, it's like a distorted light. Now, we can allow things to come into our life that distort the light or that block the light, that allow people not to see the Lord Jesus Christ as they should, because we should be reflecting Him. That is how we should shine. Oh Lord, I must confess my light in the home far from bright. I question rules, I disagree, thus every day a fight. Instead of honoring the ones placed over me by Thee, I stubbornly refuse demands, my light dim constantly. O Lord, repentant I confess and trim my fading light. I will subservient in the house keep my light shining bright. What I said the other day, the hardest place for parents to keep shining is in the home with their children. The hardest place for children to keep shining is in the home. It is so hard. Now there are other smudges. The world can creep into our hearts. Envy, hatred, jealousy, interests that are not God-honoring, lies, the habit of telling lies can creep into our hearts. We need to examine ourselves and say, is my light still shining bright? We said, Psalm 139, we said, 23, search me, O God. If God were to look down upon us and we were lights shining, will all our lights be on? And if He sees our lights, will our lights be shining brightly? Dear Lord, my light distorted, it does not reflect Thee. For envy, pride, and anger crept in with jealousy. I need Thy blood to cleanse me, no blockage anymore, so that the lost and stumbling may be led to Thy door. Have we got to admit this afternoon that our lights are faulty? We are inconsistent lights. We are fading lights. We are dim lights. There's dirt on the glass of our lamps. Anger, pride, envy, jealousy. Distorted lights, how sad when they lead sinners further down. For we repel them with our pride, react with snarl and frown. How sad if we shine on and off, erratic, flickering, no hope to influence the ones behind us, they're stumbling. How sad if our light fails to shine, to warm the souls of men, drowning in sin and wretchedness, no light, their course to stem, like that Father's light that is off. Now, if we are to sum up the 6 days, the first, we spoke of the darkness that everybody is born in and born with, the darkness of sin. Then the Lord Jesus, we spoke about the Lord Jesus, who is the only one that can set us alight. And if He sets us alight, it is our responsibility to shine so that others may find the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet we have to ask ourselves, is our light shining bright or is it faulty and flickering, especially as we go home? Do we realize that darkness broods over every soul? No one is born without it. Sin reigns beyond control. But God, in His great mercy, sent Jesus as His light to reach sinners and save them, rescue them from their plight. But strangely, men ignored Him. They would not heed His call to let His light ignite them. No interest at all. Thus they are heading onwards right to the mouth of hell. The moment they will step in, no man on earth can tell. The question is, have you let God's light beam upon you? Have you repented, reached out? Has He made you anew? So that others by your light might be led unto God as they follow and walk in the very path you trod? Or must you sadly admit your light grown weak and dim? You have not trimmed your wick, but you've sadly stooped to sin.